establishing something. Listen, church. Listen, church. There are three major offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first office is the office of a prophet. The second office is the office of the high priest. And the third office is the office of a king. Hallelujah. Three major offices. Three major offices. The office of, I repeat, what's the first office? A prophet. Hallelujah. The second office is the office of a high priest. And the third office is the office of a king. It's the office of a king. And I want you to understand something, church. In summary, the picture that the book of Hebrews is giving us. Then we do some reading and let's hear from what Apostle Paul is saying directly from him. But just let me summarize something and give you a picture, God willing. Now, you will notice something here. Every time I keep emphasizing how wonderful this our God is, something about him that you need to catch, it helps you and gives you a bearing. First and foremost, I said because he's a God of principles. When he says, I am the Lord, in Malachi chapter 3, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. Hallelujah. William Branham summarized it this way. He said that Satan is known by his characteristics. He said God is also known by his characteristics. There are things that will happen and you will say this is God. You didn't see who did it. Oh, who do am? You don't see the person who do am. But you will know that this is God. And when Satan too come and display his own, you don't see how it happened. When you see, you will see who. You will say, who did it? You will say, nah, Satan. How do you know it's Satan? By his characteristics. Now, God works by principle. You will catch him through a study and knowledge of his principle. It will help us. It will help us. It will help us. The church of Jesus Christ is built upon a rock of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. If you don't know who he is, you will not be able to identify him when he appears before you. And he said, upon this rock, it is a rock. Revelation of who Jesus Christ is a rock that Christ builds his church upon, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, whenever we bring some of these mysteries out or some of these teachings out, you are not trying to show that we know Bible. We are trying to make you have the right bearing in your Christian faith. Apostle Paul says that is the purpose of the fivefold ministry, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He said, for the perfection of the saints. That is why he raises pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfection of the saints. And he added there that we all come into the unity of the faith so that we are not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And that is what so many Christians, you know, fall prey to. Wind of doctrine. You don't have a bearing. Today you are here. The one new revelation, brrr, you are there. Brrr, you are there. The reason is we, in the Gentile world, we are not emulating the Berean Christians. The Bible called them honorable believers. He said that we are more honorable because anybody that comes before those group of people in Berea, when you preach your own finish, they will come back and check. They will come back and check. And I always say, what do they check with? There must be a standard they were using to check whatever they were hearing. And our standard now is biblical revelation. Not just biblical revelation, not just the Bible. It has to be revelation of the Bible. Hallelujah. This Bible truth must be made alive, must be revealed to you. Must be revealed to you. Praise the Lord. That is why I was sharing with a minister that I was in his house on Thursday, yes. And we were sharing a lot of nonsense that is going on in the entire message setting. The world all over, and particularly in Nigeria, Lagos. And people are raising up and they are saying, I am apostle. In fact, one says he is an apostle. No, he's an apostle. So when another one heard that he said he's apostle, then he now raised up again and said he is the chiefest apostle. So that one say he's chief apostle. Okay, the one say he's chief apostle. Yes, one say he's chief apostle. So the second one say he is chiefest apostle. Your own are only chief, my own are chiefest. Praise God. And the most pathetic aspect of it all is they are holding on to the messages preached by William Branham. What I remember is a song. Where will I go? Where will I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. You know why that song comes to me now? Because, hallelujah, hallelujah. That song comes to me because we escaped from the denomination. Looking for a refuge for our soul when we found the end time message. Satan still pursue us again there. That's why I preach the message I titled the fourth Exodus. What is the fourth Exodus? Because there are three Exoduses in the Bible, but I have added the fourth one. The first Exodus is God Almighty sent Moses to pull his children out of Egypt to the promised land. When they got to the promised land, the law caged them there in the promised land. They needed another exodus, movement of the people to move out to something better. He sent Jesus Christ to pull the children of God from the law into grace. And the Gentiles received that grace. And the denominational antichrist system came and caged them again in this grace with the denominational system. The third Exodus had to take place when God sent that man of God, William Marion Branham, to come with a message that is supposed to be the Jubilee sound. That is the shout in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. That is the midnight cry in Matthew 25 verse 6. And we had the voice and left the denominational system because he said, come out of her, my people, and don't be partaker of her. He said, I will send my servant, the prophet Elijah, to restore. That ministry is a ministry of restoration. To bring us back to Bible Christianity. And then we all rushed and embraced the entire message. The devil again anointed his men into the same precious truth. Raise up people. And God in this time now is undertaking the fourth Exodus. The fourth Exodus now is God. God is raising some of us. Because I believe I'm among them. I'm among to tell every true believer of this entire message that what they tell you is the entire message is not the entire message. It's not the entire message. You're cagey people. Some of them in inter-message churches, they swear, they take an oath. Every church member will take an oath not to leave the church. You are saying, it happens, it happens. The chiefest apostle tells his members, come and key into the anointing now. Come and key in. What is key in? Come and be initiated, oh. Come and be initiated, oh. Witchcraft see holding the sermon books of William Marion Branham. so that you know why they don't like Brother Moses. God, tell them to their face. But the Bible says the fivefold ministry is raised up to establish the people so that nobody is tossed up and down by every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. You don't know what this equal anointing is all about. The equal anointing, the symbol of the anointing that is released in this end time, is to establish the believer. When anybody stands before you, there is an anointing around you that makes you see through him. To know where he's coming from and where he's going to. So you can know whether you will follow him or not. Praise the Lord. So I told my pastor friend, the last church I attended before this church, we started this church. We had a problem with them and he was there. And I reminded him the reason why I had a problem with them. He was our minister, one of our ministers. And he was among those I was disagreeing with. And he's among those that gave me the reason why I had to leave that church. And I reminded him, he too, his eyes has opened now. And so I could not talk with him now. And I told him, I said, do you remember, hallelujah, that in 1996, 97, I said, when one that other brother raised up himself and was saying that he was an apostle. I said, brother, do you know why that brother didn't like me? I was not a minister in that church. I was an ordinary member, but an influential ordinary member. Because every church I belong, it means I was sacrificed. I came there. That is my eternal destination. I was handing it over in a ministry. And I'm not going to sit down there like a mumu. Oh, God told Gideon, go in this thy might. I used to tell them, so when you misplace Bible, I know they wait till you finish. Oh, I will give usher. Question, take it back to the preacher. If the usher say, wait after service, I say, which after service? Take it now. Take, go and tell him now. And if the pastor, the preacher read it, say, Brother Moses, I will answer you later. I will stand up. I say, no, you made that statement openly. Correct it openly. That was the kind of church member I am. No, this one, just come and sit down. They say, Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Jesus is not the Son of God. Amen. Jesus is Trinity. Amen. Jesus is Funity now. Amen. Everything, amen. Everything, amen. The reason is you have no bearing. You have no bearing. You have no bearing. You have no bearing. If you know where you are going from mile 2 to Oshodi, and you know the road to go there, and you enter Okada, he begin head towards the border. You don't go shout. You don't go shout. No, now pastor, he knows where he's going. Now go call him. He knows where he's going. Me anywhere they go, I go follow him. Me anywhere they go, I go follow him. Now so you go follow him, until you meet Lucifer at the gate of hell. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. I told him, I said, I told that minister at that time, 1998. I told him, I said, sir, you be parading yourself as an apostle. I said, I don't believe you're an apostle. He comes from Kogi State. He goes from church to church. Moving everywhere. And I reminded my friend today, on Thursday. I said, when I visited that man, because we didn't know when he's coming, the preparation we used to make for him when he's coming, it's more than the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was my house he used to come and put up. It was always my house. I know how throughout the period we are there, we are miserable until he goes back. Because we don't know what we do that will offend the spirit. The man of God is around. You don't even knock his door in case he's discussing with Jesus in his room. That's the truth. He gave us instruction. Please, Don't knock this door until 10 o'clock every day. Ha! So even when you are passing near the door, you tread carefully. So that. But that will not move an eagle one bit. I will not move an eagle one bit. I visited his church. And with people, a number of people I saw in this great man of God, an apostle, going from church to church and correcting us how to set the church in order and everything. I saw 15 people were sitting down in that church. I said, ha! And I told the brother when I came back, I said, before you can make any claim and go to any church to set that church in order, there must be a perfect one you have set that will be a reference point. I was not a pastor. I was an ordinary church member. I said, this is manipulation. No, this is manipulation. Why? Because the Bible tells me how to identify every office of the fivefold. I know how to identify a pastor. So when you come and you tell me you are a pastor, I will ask you, where are you pastoring? Where are you pastoring? No, I finished Bible school and when you finish Bible school, then you take upon yourself title of a pastor. Oh no, that is wrong. Before you can be a pastor, church, the word pastor comes from the word pasture. Pasture. That is, the sheep food is called pasture. So, the keeper of the sheep food is called pastor. So, it means you have the food to feed the sheep. There must be sheep that you are feeding. That's why you are pastor. So, I know how to identify a pastor. You say, you are an evangelist. You're an evangelist? No problem. You're an evangelist. Then you are jumping from church to church. You live here, you go to another place. Say, ah, me, I'm an evangelist. My own, I know they stay for one place. Evangelists know they move from church to church. Evangelists go to places where they have not had the message. It's out in the field. It's out in the field. And an evangelist will not be reminded to go for evangelism. An evangelist is not reminded to go for evangelism. I am speaking to our evangelists. Hallelujah. You're not reminded. You're not reminded to go for evangelism. The reason is there's something around you that you can't sit down in one place. It is always moving you. That is the anointing pushing you, pushing you, pushing you, moving you, moving you, moving you. Prophet who call, I know where a prophet is. There are some people that we call them prophet and prophetess in this church. They are no prophet, oh. They are only exercising the gift of the word of knowledge. We know who a prophet is. A prophet is one that you can go and inquire. It's the only one, is a seer. A prophet is the only one you can go and say, see, oh, hallelujah. See, oh, see. I want travel. I want to go to Japan. I want to go to London. I beg. This is what I'm going for. How far? Then the prophet tells you, go. No problem. You will go. You will come back safely. And then you reach airport. They deport you. You don't even the flight. They say you're not even near that place. You come back. Was that a prophet? It's not a prophet. It's not a prophet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A prophet is one that inquires. And when he says, thus said the Lord, it is thus said the Lord. There is no interpretation to thus said the Lord. God is the interpreter of his own word. And his prophecy from thus said the Lord, how do you know it is thus said the Lord? God will watch over his word to perform it. Watch over his word to perform it. So I know where a prophet is. I know where a teacher is. I know who every office is. I know it. And when anybody says he is an apostle, I know who an apostle is. I know who an apostle is. an apostle, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I have told you something. Let me use this quickly. Let me explain this for those hearing me for the first time, because so many claims are coming on. So many claims are coming up. Fivefold ministry. These are five fingers. Each of these finger is represents the fivefold ministry. Each of these five fingers. Give a close shot of my finger. Make them see. Thank you. Five. Praise the Lord. Five. No return up. Keep up for my finger. Make them see. I want them to understand something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These five fingers, listen. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, we said, the first one is what? Apostle. It's the first one. It is this finger. Now, remember that the fivefold ministry is for the perfection of the saints. The saints make up the body of Christ. It is with this five finger you touch every part of the body for the perfection. If this one no do well, use the five finger, dress it well. That is what it means in the body of Christ. Now, watch it now. As far as the ministries are concerned, this is the apostle. The apostle here, listen, the apostle, if you notice this finger, you call it the thumb, this finger has the ability to touch every other finger. That means his ministry touches every other ministry. Can you see it? This one, it touches. So that is why the highest office is the office of apostle. Because under this ministry will be perfected. This ministry will be affected. This ministry will be produced. This ministry will be produced. It is from the under the ministry of an apostle that the other offices can spring up. He will produce them. Secondly, the next office is this finger. It's thus saith the Lord. Now in the one. Now in the one. Sister, you go carry below. That your brother where they can't sleep every time. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. The next finger is what? If you notice, the third one is the longest finger. Look at them. Because he's the one that reaches out. He's the one that reaches out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen, church, listen. The next one is the wedding finger. He is the one that marries the whole gift, the pastor, the office of a pastor. That's the one that marries all other gifts and brings them together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Evangelist. The third one is evangelist. Hallelujah. The first one is apostle. The second one is prophet. The third one is evangelist. The one that reaches out. That's why it's the longest finger. The fourth one is the pastor. The wedding ring. This is the one that marries everything together. And the last one is the teacher. If you notice, look at it. It is only the office of the teacher that touches on his own. Hallelujah. On his own, he can come and meet the apostle. Because he receives from the apostle to break it down. Praise the Lord. Therefore, before you can say you are an apostle, you will show the ministers you have produced. You will show the ministries you have produced. Which ministers have you produced? And to produce one minister is not easy. Especially the office of a prophet, to produce them. Hallelujah. Produce them and make them stand is not easy. To produce the office of a minister and make that minister stand is not easy, because when the anointing comes upon them, they begin to challenge even the apostle. Has God called you? And say, call me. I know what I'm hearing. I know my God. I know. Pastor, you don't understand. I know. You dey charge money? I know, Pastor. I know. You dey propose to too many girls at the same time? I know, Pastor. I know. I know now. I know, Pastor. You don't understand. You know, you are not a prophet, Pastor. We are prophets. We know. I know. You know they come Bible study, Pastor. I know. Get as they tell me. And so it's not easy to get one that will stand. If you are able to get even one that is able to stand, it's understandable, Oga Apostle. You can claim it. And Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, he said the evidence of an apostle, he mentioned it there. Mighty deeds, wonders, miracles, signs and wonders and mighty works were wrought among you as evidence of my apostleship. Praise the Lord. There's somebody who cannot pray for headache, say he is apostle. Let me also add something. When I say the sheep food, listen, church. When I say the sheep food, when I say the sheep food, before you can be a pastor, you must have the pasture. There is something else William Branham spoke. Two identifications William Branham spoke of the ministry of a pastor. He said that the pastor is like, a rubbish can. I don't know how to describe it, the way he put it. That is, you are the one that every rubbish ends up on you. I say, and if you are not able to take the kicks and the knocks from the congregation, he said, then you are not qualified. That is, the pastor is a burden bearer. The second thing he mentioned, he said that in every local church, he said the pastor must be at least one step ahead of all the members, spiritually speaking. And then he added, he said, if you are in a member of any church and you know better than that pastor, he said, that is evidence that is not your church. Don't sit down there and fight him. He said, that is evidence that you don't belong to that ministry because you can't know better than your pastor. Now, I also say something, that before you can be a pastor, see the reason why David was selected to be the king of Israel. Why was he selected to be the king of Israel? He was watching over his father's sheep. And a lion came one time and took his father's sheep. David risked his life, ran after that lion without any weapon in his hand, and delivered that lion. That sheep. Another time, a bear came again and took another sheep, was going to eat it. David ran with his bare hands and delivered that. Of course, that was why he was not afraid of Goliath. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, the pastor of every church must have a grace where the enemy is coming to take any of his members, he should have the grace to step in there, spiritually speaking, and recover the soul back. He must. That means there must be some power gift that will follow that pastor. There must be some power gift. A pastor that has no power gift following him, you can only be a teacher. You can never be a pastor. You can't be a pastor. They rush your church member from everywhere. They don't go loot. They don't go lasso. They don't go all the specialist hospital. They did not work. They run, come to you. They are saying, he get one hospital for a Jesha. They're very good. Now don't try. Now don't go there. Amen. They don't know where hospital today, and they come meet you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Before you become the pastor of a church, there must be some power gift also with you. So that when the enemy comes, you can rush there like David. That was what God saw in David and said, this is the man qualified to watch over my sheep Israel. That's why he was made a king over Israel. And so, I'm saying all this so that you use this Bible to identify who is who and any claim that comes up, because very soon we're expecting the thunders to sound. How will you identify the thunders? You must know what the thunders are expected to do. So that when they come up, you can have something to say, if the thunder comes, this is how it will be. Anybody that rises up, and an apostle does not go about telling people that, see, I am an apostle, you either listen to me or all of you will go to hell. It's a lie. That is evidence he's not an apostle. It is what you teach that will speak for you. It is the works that you do that will speak for you. Hallelujah. People had to be asking William Branham, until before he made any claim, people began to think, this may be Jesus Christ again that came. Oh. He didn't begin to stand up to make claim. I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that. No! And of course, when it was time for Apostle Paul to close him out of those gainsayers, that is when he began to boast of his ministry. He could say that Peter was anointed as apostle to the Jews. He is anointed by the same person who called Peter, anointed for the Gentiles. And he could boast, tell me who else has done greater works than I have done among the Gentiles than me. He went about establishing ministries everywhere. Church, you have to know it. And once one of the identification of these false appearances, once they come up and you refuse to identify them, they will fight you. They will fight you. Once they come up and you refuse to identify them, and church, I am not telling you what I have not told them. I meet them face to face. I know they talk my own for back. I look for them face to face. The one that says he's the chiefest apostle, I have met him. And one of you, Ike, you were there the day I confronted him. That time he never come up plainly like this. It just began. I saw it. And in his own church, I said, brother, I came here the other day, see what they talk. I came again the other day, see what they talk. They had a program. Today again, see what they talk. I hope you are not trying to raise up and make any claim for yourself. He got angry because one other pastor who was there stood up and said, I talk him. Then he stopped and faced that man and said, why will you talk like this? You're a hypocrite. I said, what is the cause of this? I said, see, I told him that day, thank God some ministers were there. I said, wait, at the appropriate time, God will show who is who. Stop that nonsense you people are doing. And that is why none of them identifies with me, because I know they talk my own for back. Nobody can stop me from going to heaven, and nobody can take me to heaven. Why am I afraid of a human being? The last thing you can do is to kill me. And if you kill me, is it punishment for me or promotion? So why do you think I'm afraid of death? I will speak, especially when I know it is being recorded. Because when I am gone, somebody will hear it. So I'm not afraid. This is the time to say it, to give the children of God a bearing. Understand Bible. Understand salvation process. Identify. Know how to identify. Who is who? It's very easy to identify a false minister and a true end time message minister. does not go after money. He doesn't go after money. Church, he does not go after money. Whether it is in prayer assembly anywhere, you see anybody parading himself as a minister, and all he's interested is what he will get from the gospel, he is not part of this William Branham movement. He's not. I preach a message. Whose image are you? I will preach it again. No, I'll preach it to remind some people. It's true now. How do we know that Cain was of the serpent? How do we know that serpent in Papa? Cain in Papa now serpent. By their fruit, you will know them. Because, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because we are to bring forth after our kind. After our kind. After our kind. I read one cartoon in one newspaper yesterday. Some two small boys are arguing. One was asking his friend, please, do I look like my mother? He said, why do you say whether you look like your mother? He said, because anytime my daddy is angry with me, he will say, like mother, like son. He said, that's why he's asking. Maybe he looks like the mama. No. The father knows how the mama behave. So when the son begin to behave like the mama, that is when the father will say, like mother, like son. William Branham had the highest gift any preacher in this grace age we have, especially in this seven church age. Yet, he had the opportunity to become billionaire with that gift. And yet, he said, rather than compromise the biblical stand, he said he would rather be eating soda cracker. That is, he would rather eat gari and kuli kuli than to compromise the word of God for any reason. Therefore, he became our standard. You say you have the same equal anointing, the last thing that will be in your mind for coming into the ministry is to make money. To make money. To make money. But do you know something? William Branham had so much gift. People were paying money into his account behind him because they were afraid that if they come and give him, he will not take. So much money until when he died, till today, none of his children has gone to look for work. Yet, never one day. In fact, if he finish praying for you, then you bring any money to give him, he will refuse. Of course, people knew him. The reason is because he knows what that means. He knows what that means. He knows what the devil wanted to do with that. And if it is the same grace that is upon us, hallelujah, we will behave in the same way. Look, one of the meekest man, if you read, you see humility in the life of that man. And today, there's somebody that says an apostle in this entire message. As he's preaching, he has a cane that he keeps by the pulpit. Brother, you have seen it now. Some of his former church members, they are here now. God delivered them. Somebody is waving hand. They are seeing the wave. You don't see the cane. Whether he don't cane yourself before, brother. He don't cane you. No, I'm saying the truth so that you won't think that he has a cane. I went there, I saw the cane. I said, brother, what is this cane for? He said, I didn't hear the Bible say, spear the rod and spoil the child. They are all my children. They are all my children. Hallelujah. If you come late to church, if you come, this sister don't need, she don't worship there before. Eh? Hallelujah. This is, she don't go. If you come late for service, like some of you know when they come late, if you're not dead there, you can't come late too. If you come late, you will kneel down outside in the sun until it pleases him to release you. Hallelujah. If you misbehave, or maybe he's preaching and you are sleeping, you will stand up, bring you to the altar. Irrespective of your age, oh, irrespective of your age. And recently, they said one Asmodee sister there gave prophecy. God said the Lord, all the children should be caned. I don't know for what reason. They brought out the cane and everyone caned. You are caning them. Cane all the children. It's Holy Ghost cane. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he binds all of them with fear. If you leave this church and go another place, you will die cockroach death. And so everybody, I don't want die cockroach death. And so I'm not going to leave the church. And I said, that man is a witch. That man is a witch. It's a witch. Get this tape and send it to him to hear an intermessage preacher preaching. Take it to him. He's a witch and he needs deliverance. He doesn't know it. That is the spirit. That man said, if you like, call me Reverend King. I don't care. And why will people come in willingly and sit down under such ministry if it is not some manipulation that is keeping them together? There must be a fourth Exodus. People who know their Bible and have received this equal anointing can never be bewitched to that level. Church, I am taking time and saying all this to open your eyes and give you a bearing. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pray, we shall soon have our 24-hour television channel. Yes, a satellite channel. We will send this thing to the whole world to hear. And we hear it, and the children of God will hear the truth and pull out of that nonsense. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, hallelujah, as a prophet, we have explained that. That is Hebrews chapter 1, the first 3 verses. Jesus Christ now, as a high priest, Hebrews chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 9 and verse 10, it says, and being made perfect concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he became the author of eternal life unto all them that obey him, called, verse 10 is my emphasis, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's called after the order of Melchizedek. Go to chapter 7. We are now looking at the office of the high priest. It's important because the Gentiles today, they are still worshiping the God of Israel using the law and the ordinances, using the Old Testament. So you see Gentile followers of Jesus Christ still observing the Saturday as a day of rest, Sabbath. And Hebrews chapter 4, we have looked at it in details, tells us, hallelujah, that there still remained a rest for the children of God. And that Saturday is not the rest. We have explained that in our earlier messages. Now, hallelujah. Now we have the office of the high priest. Now, but watch it. I was explaining something. It's very important. Let me lay this background again. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, he was going to pull them out of Egypt. Who did he use? A prophet. The greatest prophet before Jesus that came to the land of Israel. Now, when immediately he brought them out, he gave them the law. Hallelujah. And knowing their carnal nature, God gave them the ordinances of sacrifices, things that they will do to remain in relationship with them, to cover their sin. And all those ordinances were given to them. And the mediator between God and his children on earth, which office did he use? The high priest. He instituted the office of the high priest, starting with Aaron. And so Aaron will come once every year, offer sacrifice for himself, to purify himself, because he himself too is a sinner. He was the only one that was permitted to enter the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, in the temple. Hallelujah. The outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. That is where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. That is where the Shekinah glory of God was placed. And only one man was permitted by God to come there and stand and offer sacrifices on behalf of his people. And after Aaron died, the same way Aaron was appointed, the same way another high priest will be appointed to take over. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So under the law, you have the Aaronic priesthood. But when Jesus Christ came, his own office of a high priest was after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. Remember, hallelujah, we are looking at the superiority of grace. That's what we're looking at. Grace is superior to the law. We are under a better covenant than what those Jews were enjoying at that time. A great privilege, the Gentiles are. That's why he called us the bride. The bride. When he said the first shall be the last. Hallelujah. The last, hallelujah, shall be the first. Amen. He had two children. The first one were the Jews. The second one were the Gentile church. The Jews were so blind. Hallelujah. They missed him. And so, the great feast, remember, Matthew chapter 22, he made a great feast. And then called those that the feast was prepared for the Jews. They turned it down. And so he said, well, the feast, I made a feast. Those who the feast was meant for, they didn't come. Therefore, he called his servants, go to the highways and the byways, and gather both good and bad, and come to the wedding feast. The good and bad, now we. The Gentiles, now we. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we are the second one, but we go in the rapture first before the Jews will come later. The first shall be the last. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he gave them the office of the high priest. And the high priest, hallelujah, was there until they got into the promised land. When they got into the promised land, for 40 years they were in the wilderness. As they got into the promised land, then they now had a king. That was when Saul became a king. And later, David and the rest king. Praise the Lord. And the office of the king came as God had a covenant with David that he was going to establish that seat forever, because David was a man after God's own heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And one of the promises concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is that he will sit upon the throne of his father David, the office of the king. But for now, we are looking at the office of the high priest. I just wanted you to just catch that the Lord Jesus Christ himself too, hallelujah, occupied the same position. Something was quickened to me this morning. In Hosea chapter 11 verse 1, he said something here. Hosea chapter 11 verse 1, he said, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, go to Matthew chapter 2. Go to Matthew chapter 2. Hallelujah. It's so interesting to catch the pattern that God works with his children. Chapter 2. Amen. Let me read it from verse 13. Concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. After those wise men came to Herod, God visited those wise men that they should not return to Herod. Herod said they should go and come and tell him how far, so that he too he will go and worship the king. Now verse 13. And when they were departed, the wise men, hallelujah. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee what? For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Verse 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. I was just looking at it this morning. A pattern that God works. That when he was going to establish his covenant with the children of Israel, he first let them go to Egypt. You see that in Genesis chapter 46, 47, when Jacob finally moved with his family to go and meet Joseph in the land of Egypt. That is where they stayed for 430 years before the word of the Lord came through Moses to bring them out of Egypt. The same thing also, that prophecy is referring both to Jesus and is also both to Israel. Hosea chapter 11 verse 1, out of Egypt have I called my son, refers to the children of Israel, it refers also to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that prophecy will be fulfilled, God also sent Jesus Christ to Egypt. He stayed there until the Herod that was after him died. Then he sent his word again to bring him out of Egypt. The same thing also, working out his foredamned plan. That's why every one of his predestinated seed was also in another Egypt, the world. He allowed his children, all of us Gentiles, we are in the world, the type of the Egypt. First, before, the real children of God, meet them one by one and have a word of discussion with them. Let them tell you their background. The real, truly converted children of God, those who have truly been converted, anyone you see on fire for God, go close to him or her and ask and find out. You will see how the devil was using them in the world. They were so worldly before the gospel came and pulled them out of the world. But remember, as soon as they left Egypt, Israel faced a wilderness. The same thing Jesus Christ, he too came out of Egypt after some time. He too went into the wilderness to be tempted. That's what the Bible says. What a perfect picture. The same thing, every Christian, as you come out of the world into Christ, you will enter a wilderness for temptation. And anyone that has not yet started your own wilderness journey, don't relax, it is coming. To be tempted concerning Jesus, he said, when he came out of that, Matthew chapter 3, out of the water, baptism, and the Spirit of the Lord came down upon him. That same Spirit led him to the wilderness. It is written there, to be tempted of the devil. So God will send his son to be tempted by the devil? Yes. It's a pattern. The same thing. But after that temptation, they will enter the promised land. And when the battle is over, We shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, oh, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Raymond Jackson said something that I agree with him. Initially, when I read, I said, what is this man saying? But later on, I saw the light in what he said. He said, the bride of Jesus Christ will sit on thrones. They will rule with him. They are seen in different categories, in different type of clothing in the book of Revelation. Why? Hallelujah. A group is dressed in white cloth, white raiment, white robes. Another group is dressed in fine linen. Two different type of cloth. He made one statement and I agree with him. He said, anybody that will be among the bride, you will not receive the Holy Ghost today and die next tomorrow. You will not receive because you are supposed to walk here and earn a crown for yourself. You must be alive here, be confronted with all manner of trials, temptation, difficulty, and he that overcometh will I give to sit with me in my throne as I have overcome and sit with my Father in his throne. That is thus said the Lord. Therefore, a true bride member will never receive the Holy Ghost today and die the same month. Nalayo. Those who will sit on the thrones, they are people that will be proved. They will be tried. You will face difficulties up and down, shaking left and right to see whether you will go or you will stay. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, wear a crown, wear a crown. Hey, wear a crown. Not an ordinary crown. We are a bright and shining crown. Not an ordinary crown. Oh, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I am sure my name is written in the book of life. I'm sure I will face all the trials and temptations and all the difficulties. My prayer is, give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. I need your grace to follow. Yes, your grace is enough for me. That's our prayer. Jesus himself was tempted and tried. Hallelujah. He was tempted. He was tempted and tried. You too, you must be tempted and tried. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's one song in our hymn book that goes, it says, tempted and tried, we're of men to wonder. Which song is that? Hallelujah. Which song is that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. He said, Father alone, Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother.
air of my brother.
Live in the sunshine.
Live in the sun.
We will understand it.
We understand it. All by and by.
Hallelujah. Oh yeah, that's our hymn number 27. That stanza says, when death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drowned. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year?
Oh, Father alone
will know all about.
Oh, Father alone
will understand why.
Oh, cheer up my brother
and live in the sunshine.
Oh, we understand it all by and by.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Trials are part of our Christian experience. Therefore, don't begin to sit down there and say, why is my case like this? If you are a bride member with your name written in the book of life before the foundation of the world, you must pass through that trial. You must pass through that prayer. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. To his purpose. It's part of it. It's part of it. Jesus was tried. Israel was tried. The bride must be tried. It's a wilderness journey, church. But now, in the wilderness, they had a high priest that atoned for their sins, that stood in the gap as a mediator between Israel and God. Now, hallelujah. Now also, that high priest in Israel was after the order of Melchizedek. The order of Aaron. But our high priest now is after the order of Melchizedek. A priest that abided forever. Hebrews chapter 7. Who is this Melchizedek? Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, verse 1, King of Salem, hallelujah, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation King of righteousness, and after that also King of Salem, which is King of peace. Let's see it first. Genesis chapter 14. Let's see where Apostle Paul is referring to. Let's see where the Melchizedek met Abraham. Genesis chapter 14. Are we there? Are we there? Hallelujah. Verse 14. So that you catch the whole story. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dell. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. That is the first communion in the Bible. It was speaking of something, church. Hey, I don't know how to make somebody understand this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how we make somebody catch this. I don't know how. Amen. Okay. That is it. Verse 18 again. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. That is, the priest was telling Abraham, you have gone now, you have conquered. It is not by your power, oh. It is God that made you to conquer. And as soon as he discovered, because Abraham was a prophet, immediately, Abraham knew who was standing before him. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. That is all that is mentioned as far as Melchizedek is concerned until Apostle Paul comes now in Hebrews chapter 7. Can we go back there now? And he's making reference to it because he was a priest. Melchizedek was a priest and also a king. Melchizedek was a priest and a king. Ha! And he gave Abraham bread and wine. Everything in the Old Testament is speaking of something pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who is this man that Abraham met on his way from Sodom? Who was this man? Verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth. Hebrews 7 verse 2. A tenth part of all, that is pay tithes. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness. And after that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Abraham met a man known as Melchizedek on the way. Who is this man? This man has no father. No, be saying, Papa die, oh. He had no mother. No, be saying, he be orphan, oh. Without descent, that is, he has no lineage. You cannot say he's an Igbo man. You cannot say he's a Jew. You cannot say he's a Moabite. You cannot say he's an Englishman. He has no descent. You cannot trace his great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather. You can't even trace him to Adam. You can't trace him to Adam. No descent. Having neither beginning of days, that means he has no birth date. Hey! Abraham met a man. And that man has no birth date. Whither then born am? I am that I am.